take our text tonight from a very familiar passage of Scripture, Sister Pam's class that's being dismissed. Thank you to her for all that she is doing, teaching our kids. Ladies, don't forget the ladies' Bible study this Friday night at 6:30 at the church. Been getting wonderful reports of what the Lord has been doing there. And I encourage you, if at all possible, be here. Amen. Ladies at the ladies' Bible study, men at the men's, and we draw strength one from another. We need one another. Sister Faye mentioned it in her testimony. It seems like the later we get in this thing, the harder the fight gets. The more difficult it's becoming. We need each other. One of the greatest resources that God has given us, Brother Eddie preached, the weapons of our warfare is our community, is each other. When we're weak, amen, another is going to be strong. And when they're weak, you can be strong. You can lift them up and help them carry the burden. So I encourage you, be here if you're able. 6:30, ladies, Friday night at the church. Believe in the Lord for a great time. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Amen. I know these are very familiar passages of Scripture, and what I'm going to preach and the title that the Lord has given me for this. Any of you that have listened to Brother B.H. Clendenin, he preached from this same text and used the same title and preached one of the great classic messages of our day and our time. But I can tell you, B.H. Clendenin didn't give me this message. So I was here walking and pacing the floors of this church Monday night. The Lord began talking unto me and dealing with my heart very strongly. And I don't know, I'm not a prophet, I'm a preacher. But I feel like for the next few moments, the Lord will help us step into the role of the prophet and prophesy the word of God as I've been commanded. And I want to preach to you, if the Lord will help me for a few minutes, on this thought, the prodigal church. The prodigal church, if you will. Ask God to help us and anoint us tonight. Father, I love you. So thankful for the privilege that I have tonight to stand behind this sacred desk. God, I thank you for talking to me. God, I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's dealt with me. Oh, God, I'm asking now for the unction, the anointing, the empowerment of the Holy Ghost to rest upon me. God, that you would anoint me to deliver, God, the word in the same spirit that you have delivered your heart unto me. I need you tonight. I need your touch. I need your anointing. God, if there's anything in me that would hinder the flow and the operating of the anointing, I pray, oh God, remove it from me. That for the next few moments, every word that I speak would not be my words, but they would be your words flowing through this earthen vessel. God, I'm just a conduit of your anointing and a conduit of your spirit. I'm asking, talk through me for these next few moments. Oh God, deal with your church. Deal with our hearts and our lives. Draw us to this altar tonight. God, I pray changes from glory to glory. Do a work, God, that only you can do. We're going to love you, thank you, and praise you in advance for all that you're going to do. And the church says amen, amen, and amen. In the beginning of this story, we see a son that had three of the greatest blessings that one could have. Number one, he enjoyed the blessing of fellowship with the Father. He was living in the Father's house. He was living close to the Father. He was living not just in the vicinity of the Father, but he was living with the Father. And I can tell you, folks, there's no greater fellowship, or there's no greater gift that one can have than fellowship with the Father. I mean, this man had that. He lived with the Father. Not only did he have fellowship, but this was a boy of faith. Because he had a thought. He said, I'm going to go to my Father. And by faith, I'm going to ask him for the portion of goods that belongs to me. By faith, he approached his Father, expecting to receive. We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This man went to his Father in faith, expecting that when he asked, that he was going to receive the request and the desire of his heart. We see he had fellowship. We see he had faith. We see that not only did he have faith, but he had favor. Because he received from the Father exactly what he asked for. Exactly what he had asked for. He went to his Father and said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And immediately, without hesitation, the Bible said, and he divided unto them his living. He went with a petition. He went with a request. And one day of fellowship, he approached him by faith. And he experienced the favor of the Father. The Bible says that he divided unto them his living. That word living there in the Greek is literally interpreted life. Amen. He gave unto his son his life. Everything that he was, everything that he had, he imparted and he gave it to his son. This father, you can look at it in this. He made it a great investment in his son. Everything that he had, he bestowed it upon him. He gave him great power. He gave him great authority. He gave him his great wealth. As we look at this particular time of our text, this is a perfect picture of Christ and the church. This is a perfect picture of Christ being the Father and the church being the Son. Look at the beginning of the church. If there was anything that marked the church in its infancy and in its origin, was its great fellowship with God. Everywhere they went, they were praying. Amen. They were seeking the Scripture. They were fellowshipping one with another. They were fellowshipping with the Father. They were people of great faith that believed God to do the miraculous. They approached God with a spirit of expectancy that they would receive what they asked for. And because of that great fellowship and because of that great faith, great favor rested upon them. Great favor rested upon them. A perfect picture of the church. Amen. As the Father invested unto the church. Amen. His life. On the day of Pentecost, the Father gave the greatest investment to the church that he possibly could. He gave unto the church of his own spirit. He gave unto the church his living. The same word there that we find in the story in Luke chapter number 15. Is the same life, the same power, the same authority that the church received on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost is the life and the power of God. Amen. The Father bestowed that upon the church in Luke 10. It was prophesied, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In Mark 16, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up the serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That was all prophetic. Amen. That was all fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the Father invested his life, his power source into the church. Amen. He made a great investment in that New Testament church. The same way that Father made a great investment in that Son. He gave unto him life. He gave unto him power. The same way that God gave life and power unto the church. I can tell you, folks, the investment of the Holy Ghost is the greatest investment that God can give to the church. Amen. The investment of the Holy Ghost in us is just as valuable to the born again man as salvation. salvation is to the lost man. It's the same life and the power. The Holy Ghost is our inheritance. Ephesians 1:14 says that He is the earnest of our inheritance. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul said that we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency of the power of God. Amen. Wrapping this up, folks. Amen. The Holy Ghost is that investment. The Holy Ghost is the life and the power of God that the Father has given unto the church, the same way that that Father gave unto His Son life and power and authority. Amen. Everything that the Father gave the Son, He gave unto us by His Spirit. Amen. I can tell you in Luke 15, when the world looked at that boy, he saw a duplication of his father. Everything that the Father was, it was now bound up in His Son. Everything that He had, His life, His power, His authority, He had just as much power and authority as the Father did. I can tell you, for the born again believer that's been filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost power of God, we should be the same duplication of God in this earth. Amen. We, if we have the Holy Ghost, have the life and the power of God. When the world looks at us, they should see flesh and blood, but they should see God. They should see a reflection of the Father. They should see the Spirit of God in operation in us. If that's not the case, then we are missing our divine purpose. Same way, that boy in Luke 15, he was a duplication of the Father. Amen. We should be a duplication of God in this earth, a reflection of the power of God. Amen. The similarities are very similar. Amen. The church, like the Son. Amen. If we're dealing with this on this in this manner tonight, amen. Something happened. Something changed. Something, amen, the dynamic of the story, it didn't stay the same. It didn't just stop in verse 11 and 12 when He said, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And the Father divided unto him his living. The story does not stop there. But the Bible says, and after not many days, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Something happened in the life of that boy. You can look at him and say, how foolish can you be? You've got fellowship. You've got faith. You've got favor. You've got power. You've got authority. You've got everything that the Father has. It is now yours. But that wasn't good enough. And the Bible says immediately, he gathered together all and took his journey into a far country. And here is where the story changes. You may ask, what happened? I can tell you what happened. This boy picked up a worldview instead of a God view. He took his eyes off of fellowship with the Father and he put his eyes on this world. You see, you can't long for the world and stay in the Father's house. You can't desire the world and the things of the world and expect to maintain your relationship with the Father. You see, you can't have both. You can't serve God with a divided heart. Sooner or later, one is going to win out. One is going to take priority. You can't long for the world and stay in the Father's house. I believe when he had all of that invested into him, he began to think the grass has to be greener on the other side of this fence. My whole life, I've been bound. I've lived in these restrictions. Now I've got power. I've got authority. I've got a little bit of money in my pocket. I wonder what it's like down the road at Farmer John's house. I wonder what it's like at Father Tom's house. I wonder wonder what it's like in town. The world began to pull on him. The world that began to draw him and lure him. And then the more his focus began to shift from his father and place on the world. But you hear this preacher, the same world that you have your eyes on is the same world that will pull you out of the Father's house. The next time we see him, he's outside of the household of faith. He's outside of the Father's house. He's outside of the protection of the Father. And the next time we see him, he's wasted his whole life. He's wasted his substance with righteous living, and he spent all that he had. You see, at first, the world was appealing to him. Then the world began to pull on him. Then the world robbed him blind. Folks, that is a direct picture of what sin in this world does. Amen. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Not just some of the time, but every time. Here was a man that had everything living with the Father, but the world had robbed him blind. You hear this preacher tonight. If you live holy and you live righteous and you live your life for God, it's going to cost you some things. There's going to be some petty feelings, amen, that you're not going to get fulfilled. There's going to be some petty things and some pleasures of this life that you're not going to get to enjoy. It's going to cost you some things to live for God. But I can tell you, folks, it's going to cost you a lot more to live without him. It's going to cost you a lot more to live outside of the Father's house than it ever did to live under his grace, under his mercy and his love. This world will rob you blind. This world will steal all that you have. It'll cost you a lot more to live without God than it ever did to live for God. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This boy lost it all. How many people have one time sat on these pews, sat on the pews of churches that we know that today they've lost it all? I can tell you, I can name, amen, a whole lot in my life that sin has robbed them blind, that one time had it all. You hear me, folks, just as sure as you can gain God's anointing, you can lose God's anointing. Just as sure as you can obtain and gain the favor of God, you can lose the favor of God. This boy had every gift that the Father could bestow on him. And the Bible says he lost it all. Everything the Father gave him, he lost it. He squandered it. Amen. He lost it all. This boy's life spiraling out of control down to the point where he wasted his substance with riotous living. He spent all. And the Bible says it was so bad that he went and he joined himself a citizen of that country. To join oneself there means to cleave unto, to glue, and to keep company with. One point in time, he's keeping company with the Father. Now, he's shacked up with the world. Now, he's shacked up with a citizen of that country. At one point, he was stuck on the Father. Now, he's stuck in the world. Amen. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, which means he became a slave. He, at one point in time, he was in the Father's house and he had servants under him. Now he's a slave. He's under. He's the lowest of the low on the totem pole. He's joined himself to a citizen of that country. He become a slave to the system of this world. I can tell you, folks, the parallels that God dealt with my heart between this boy and much of the church, amen, it is so strikingly similar, because I can tell you that a lot of the church is in the same exact shape tonight. At one point in time, they were at one with the Father, had the fellowship, had faith, had favor, had the gifts and the operations of the Holy Ghost present in their life. The Father had made the same investment in them. Amen. But, amen, that wasn't good enough. They began eyeing every fad and gimmick that come down the pipe. They began lusting after the things of this world. I can be saved and I can have the world too. I can live how I want to and still be right. And that world and that world system began to pull and drag them. And before too long, they were on the outside looking in at the Father's house. They had swallowed the hook of this world. They had chased the fad as far as they could chase it, to where now there's no difference between them and the world. There's no difference between them and that world system. Gone are the days of holy living. Gone are the days of separation and consecration. And in are the days of diversity and inclusion. What happened? Much of the church has joined itself to a citizen of this country. No longer are they in servitude to Jesus Christ, but they become a slave to the things of this world. Out is holiness and in is inclusion. You hear this, preacher? You don't control that spirit. It'll control you. Much of the world, much of the church is there tonight. Many are waking up to the sad reality that they've become a slave to this world system, living contrary, my God, to the commandments of God. And they're so deep into the muck and the mire, they have seemingly nowhere to go. I know I'm preaching to the choir and the faithful tonight. I wish I had 30 minutes of airtime on TBN. Amen. I wish I had God TV access. I wish they'd put me on CNN and MSNBC for just 1 second. But I can tell you 3 seconds of this preaching and I'd be shut down. Because it ain't popular preaching. But I can tell you it's right preaching. Amen. It's right preaching. It may be salty preaching, but ye are the salt of the earth. God help us. This boy became a slave to this world. And look how deep that he got. The Bible said he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And the first thing that man did was send him into the fields to feed swine. See, this was a Jewish boy. This was against the ordinances. This was against the law that God had instructed his people. He told him, he said, you stay away from pork. You stay away from hogs. You stay away from pigs. They are unclean animals. But the first thing that the world sent him to do when he joined himself, shacked up with the world, said, we know better than God does. You go out. You tend to the hogs. Listen, I can tell you, many churches across our land today are being controlled by the same spirit of this world that thinks it knows more than God, that thinks his ways are more superior than the ways of God, that are so arrogant to think that this new inclusive way is the right way. I can tell you, if it breaks the commands of God, it is not the right way. If it goes contrary to the word of God, amen. It might be led by a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I figured I'd get more amens than that right there. There's a whole lot of spirits in this world. Amen. But they ain't holy. They're not holy. Amen. This boy, but he found himself so low, so empty, so controlled by the world. He was okay to walk contrary to God's command if he could just be accepted by somebody. You want to know why much of the church is in the shape that she's in tonight? I mean, dealing with the prodigal church, it's because they're not chasing after God. They're chasing after acceptance. They want to be accepted. They want to be liked. They want to be popular. Why is it that Osteen will preach and have 25,000 there on Sunday mornings to listen to him preach? Amen. When he don't preach the cross, he don't preach the blood, He don't call out sin. I can tell you why. He wants to be accepted. Wants to be accepted. And the world is flocking to that because they want to be accepted. It's the accepted chasing acceptance. Amen. And that's what this thing is more about. It's become about, not about chasing after the heart of God, but it's about chasing after approval and applause in this world. I can tell you, folks, if we're more after acceptance than we are after the anointing, something's got to change. We've got to shake ourselves and wake ourselves if we're more concerned about pleasing man and what man thinks than we are about what God and what He thinks, that we, amen, may be a prodigal church that's lost my God, that's walking contrary to the ways and the will of God. Amen. Folks, it's not about acceptance from this world. It's about hearing Him say, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. And to hear Him say, well done, you must first have walked this walk well. God help us. This man was looking for somebody to accept him. And when he had nowhere else to turn to, notice where he turned. He turned to the hogs. He turned to the hogs. You want to know what much of what calls itself ministry is doing today? It's not feeding the sheep. But it's wallowing with the hogs. It's counseling what we one time cast out. It's accepting what we one time rebuked. It's not about feeding the sheep. It's about wallowing with the hogs. This boy was so low, he longed for hog food. He longed for the same food that the hogs were eating. The Bible says he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. This boy was willing to eat anything that the world would give him. He was willing to swallow up whatever the world was spitting out. This is why so many are in the shape that they are spiritually. I know I'm dealing with some stuff tonight. And the Lord began dealing with my heart. I said, Lord, I don't feel like I can preach this. But you want to wonder, want to know why the church, much of the church is in the shape she's in spiritually. Because they're willing to eat whatever the world will shove down his throat. That's why at one of the flagship AG churches just outside of Springfield, Missouri, about a month ago at a man's conference, they had a former male stripper, a man on a pole doing acrobatic stunts at a men's conference in an AG church. Amen. What is that? I can tell you, folks, it's a prodigal church. It's a church, my God, that's looking for acceptance and has gone out. Why is it that T.D. Jakes can frequent parties with P. Diddy, that's known for having male escorts? Amen. Why is that? I can tell you, it's a prodigal. It's a man outside the household of faith that's swallowing up whatever the world is putting down and spitting out. I'm telling you, folks, we have got to shake ourselves. Why is it that the Methodist Church is embracing the alphabet cult? I can tell you, it's a prodigal church. Looking for acceptance. So hungry for something. Spiritually, they're starving to death. And they're willing to swallow up whatever the world puts down. God help us. We have to admit that as a church, by and large, we've come a long way from our origin at the Father's house. We've come a long way from days of faith, fellowship, and favor. God help us. Many tonight are yoked together. That same spirit that gripped that boy is gripping a lot of the church today. But aren't you thankful the story don't end there? Amen. I can tell you, we can sit here and preach about what's wrong. And we can preach for a while on things that are wrong in the church. But I never want to be a preacher that points out what's wrong without ever telling us how to get it right. I can tell you there was hope for this boy. And there's hope for the church. Amen. There was hope for this boy, and there's hope for this church. For the Bible says there was a reckoning day. Amen. When he came to himself. In the Greek, that phrase means to sober up. There came a day when this boy sobered up. When the stupor that the world had him in began to lose its appeal. And he said, how many? I'm a slave. I'm in the pig pen. My life's a mess. I don't even have hog food to eat. I would eat it if they'd give it to me. I'm sitting here starving to death, and my father, he's got servants at home. They have bread enough and bread to spare. They've got every food that you can imagine. I left that. They've got it all, and I've got nothing. He said, I'm going to arise. I'm going to go back to my father's house. I'm going to tell him. He rehearsed what he's going to say. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But if you'll make me as one of your hired servants, I'll abide in your house forever. I'm not worthy to be called your son, but just make me as one as your hired servants. You want to know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like repentance. We just preached that not too long ago on repentance. Amen. This boy sobered up. Amen. The lure, the appeal of this world, it began to fade. Amen. He came back to himself. He said, I'm going back to my father and I'm going to repent. He cried out, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for breaking fellowship. I'm sorry for losing the faith. I'm sorry for breaking the favor. I'm sorry for losing what you've gotten. I'm sorry for flirting with the world. I'm sorry, amen, for letting the world steal the gifts and the callings of God. I'm sorry that I've tarnished your investment. I've wasted it all. Lord, I am sorry. Father, forgive me. He was broken. Cried out to the Father. And the Bible says that the Father saw him while it was a great way off. Hallelujah. I said there's hope for this boy. And there's hope for the church. He ran to the Father. Repented. Brother Eddie, he cried out to him. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I want you to notice the first thing that the Father did. He embraced him. And he kissed him. That father had every right to reject that son. He had every right to say, you've squandered everything that I've given you, good for nothing. No good. Don't you ever come back to my house again. And he would have been justified. He would have been justified to never lay eyes on that boy again. But thank God that he didn't reject him. But he embraced him. He kissed him. He loved on him. I'm telling you, folks, if the church would humble themselves and pray, hallelujah, a lot of churches have every right to be excommunicated, to be cut off, and plunged right into hell for what they propagated in the house of God. Amen. And if I were God, amen, I can't tell you how I would respond to a lot of the tomfoolery that's going on in the name of God, but that's not the God we serve. And thank God it's not. Amen. We've all messed up on this journey. We've all, amen, had things that have come up. We've all misrepresented him at some point in time. But thank God he didn't reject me. Thank God he's not rejected you. But if the church would humble themselves and come back in the same repentant spirit and cry out to the Father, they wouldn't find rejection, but they would find the embrace of the Father. He would kiss them. He would shower them with love the same way that he did for this boy. I'm telling you, you can write off the church if you want to, but I'm going to stand with her. I'm going to stand by her. Amen. Because it's God's bride. It is the bride of Christ, and he loves his church. He may not love what many have turned the church into, but he loves his bride, the remnant. He embraced him. When he repented, he cried out. I want you to notice the next thing that happened. The Lord dealt with me strongly about this. He looked at that boy. He had been tattered up. He had been wallowing around in the hog pen. Hogs stink, folks. How many of you have been by an old hog parlor? It don't smell like roses. This boy stunk. He was dirty. But you want to know what? He was just like us. For Isaiah says, our righteousness is as a filthy rags. Our own self-righteousness stinks just as bad in the nostrils of God as this boy did wallowing around with the hogs. Notice this. He said, bring forth a new robe and put on him. You see, in that moment of time, the Father said, we got to get rid of this old so that we can put on the new. This was a moment of exposure. He said, take off that old robe that's on him. This was a humble, humiliating thing for this boy to go through. You see, when they took off that old robe, his nakedness was exposed in the sight of the Father. When we truly repent, we stand before God in that same way. When we come to God, Lord, strip me of my righteousness. Strip me of what I am. Strip me of where I've been. Strip me of what I've done. God says, take that off. I love you too much, boy, to let you stay where you are. I love you too much to let you live the rest of your life in these old, dirty, rotten, filthy clothes. Expose it. Do you want to know why there's so much going on in the church that's being exposed right now? God's pulling the cover off of it. God's exposing it. Know this, judgment must first begin at the house of God. What's been done in the corner? Amen. God's bringing it out. Listen, he loves his church too much to let secret sin stay in the pulpit. He loves his church too much to let hidden sin hang out in the pews. Amen. There comes a point in time where God says, I love you enough. I've got to expose it. I love you too much to let you stay where you are. I love you too much to let you stay wallowing around in the hog pen. I've got to bring it to light. I've got to expose it. I know it's humbling. I know it's humiliating. But it will be for your good. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to this purpose. This boy had to be stripped so he could be clothed. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. He had to be stripped of the old so God could put back on the new. You see, when he clothed him in that new robe, that represented glory, that represented righteousness, that represented honor. Amen. The Father said, amen, you're not going to be known, amen, and associated with the hogs anymore, but I'm clothing you once again in glory and in honor. When the church comes back to God in repentance, we will find the same glory, the same honor. Oh my God, the same spirit of holiness, amen, that he clothed him in, he will clothe his church in once again. Yes, he may have to expose some stuff, but after the exposure, God will clothe it. Hallelujah. Clothe it with a new robe. Hallelujah. Our righteousness, Isaiah 64 says, is as a filthy rags. But I want you to notice what Revelation said. Revelation 19, verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I'm going to say that again. Fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. God the Father had to strip that boy from the old to clothe him with the new. There's a lot of things being exposed in the church in this hour. God's stripping us of all of that. And God's going to clothe us in glory and in honor and in righteousness. Amen. I tell you, folks, the church may have lost some things down through the years. But if we'll return in humility and repentance, God is getting ready to clothe the church. I feel this so strong in my spirit. He's not going to let us stay the same way that we are. But if we seek more of Him, we'll have more of Him. If we desire His glory and His honor, He'll clothe us with glory and honor, and we once again can be the true reflection and representation of Christ in this world. My God, let it be. Clothe that boy, bring the new robe. To put shoes on his feet, we've preached this so many times. Represent sonship. You're not a son of the world anymore, boy. You're my son. You're mine. Hallelujah. You're mine. Put a ring on his finger. That ring represented power and authority. At this moment in time, restoration had run full course. Clothed him in his glory. Clothed him in his righteousness. Renewed unto him, restored unto him sonship. Given unto him power and authority. At this moment in time, I want you to hear me. God spoke to my heart so plainly and said, what was at the beginning was true at the ending. A lot of people focus on this boy's transgressions and his faults. And this is a great story of redemption, but I'm telling you, it's not only a story of redemption. I mean, I feel like this is a story and representation of the church where we're living in. That boy had fellowship, faith, and favor in the beginning. I want you to realize that boy at the end of the story, he had the same fellowship. He had the same faith. He had the same favor. He was clothed in the same glory. He was clothed in the same honor and in the same righteousness in the end. As he was in the beginning. That's why I say, folks, there's hope for the church. There's hope for the church in this hour. God spoke to my heart so plainly and said, what was true in the beginning, it can be true at the end. My hell is going to do everything it can to rob and to destroy and to steal. And there's going to be some things along the line that has to get exposed. Amen. But if we'll let God, hallelujah, if we'll let God, He'll clothe us. Amen, in glory and in honor. He'll restore unto us power and authority. Amen, you see, the church was earmarked, the New Testament church, with power and authority. And I don't believe He's coming back for anything less than what He left. Amen. I know there's a lot that wouldn't receive this message tonight. I know this type of preaching would get me shut down in a lot of places. But I can tell you there's a remnant that's hungry for the glory. There's a remnant that's hungry, my God, for revival. There's a remnant that's hungry more for the anointing than they are after the acceptance of man. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm here to tell the remnant tonight what was in the beginning can be in the ending. To where we can be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. To where the lame man can rise up and walk when we lay our hands on him. When we can get so full of God and full of the Holy Ghost that the sick line the street so that our shadows may pass over them so that they can be healed. What was true in the beginning, my God, can be true in the ending. There was hope for the prodigal boy and there's hope for the prodigal church if we will humble ourselves and repent and pray and seek the face of God. My God, He's got a robe to put on us. He's got some shoes to put on our feet. He's got a ring to put on our finger. And He's got a fatted calf in the stall. Notice, this boy deserved hot food and was willing to eat whatever the world put down. But the Father said, I'm not going to give you anything unclean, but you're going to come and dine at my table. I've got filet mignon. I've got ribeye. I've got a New York strip
shrimp. You're not going to eat something unclean in the world, but you're going to eat at my table, and I'm going to fill you to an overflowing where you're going to be full. My God, you're not going to have to eat the world's stuff anymore, but there's always a seat at the table of the Lord. Come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. This boy was able to eat every day, not feel laid down by flesh in the world, but he got to eat fine meat that was cut at the master's table. Listen, I'm here to tell you, spiritually speaking, you don't have to eat everything that the world puts down. But I can tell you, this book is better than any filet mignon this side of heaven. Spiritually speaking, the meat of the word. You won't ever be malnourished, spiritually speaking, as long as you stay in this book. You'll never have to worry about swallowing something goofy that the world puts down, as long as you stay the meat of the word. Hallelujah. It'll fill your soul, not just for today, Kirsten, come help me, but it'll fill your heart for all of eternity. Listen, I'm telling you, folks, what has been can be again. The glory of God. I'm not here to pass judgment on anybody. You know your walk with God much better than I do. But if you felt yourself slipping, you don't feel as close as you one time were, God's given you the answer tonight. Run back to the Father and repentance, my God. You may feel like the world has stripped you and robbed you blind. There's help at the Father's house. There's sustenance, there's strength at the Father's house. I'm telling you, as a church, as the church of the living God. Oh, there's hope and there's help in this altar tonight. Amen. I'm just going to open up the altar tonight. The same way this boy ran to the Father. Amen. I want you to run to this altar tonight. I believe the Father by the Spirit is here. Hallelujah. He's here not to reject you. He's not here to kick you to the curb. But in a spirit of love, He'll embrace you. He'll love you. He'll clothe you. He'll restore unto you what hell has tried to rob from you. He'll restore unto you the joy of your salvation. He'll restore unto you. He's a God of restoration. And in your life, what you had in the beginning of your Christian walk, the closeness, the fellowship, the faith, the favor, you can't have again. And the end of your life can be greater than the beginning. How many of you will join this preacher in the altar tonight and cry out to God as a church? Let's do it. Come on, let's cry out to Him tonight.